You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey, opening day is almost upon us, which makes us all very happy. So we're going to talk a little bold prediction as we wait for games that count to be played. I'm Allison Sweater from MLB.com, and here with AJ Cassavell, talk a little Padres. So, AJ, I like your bold predictions. You've got three pretty good ones, but let's just get right into it. So Tyson Ross, you believe, could. I mean, these are bold, so they may not happen, but he could finish top five in ERA. So what tells you he's going to kind of take that next step this year?
Well, just the pitches he has makes him, in my mind, an elite pitcher. I think part of the reason his ERA wasn't lower last season was just that the Padres' defense was a whole lot worse than it should be this year. Up the middle, they should be better with Corey Spangenberg and Alexei Ramirez. In center field with John Jay, they got better. Will Myers is at first base. So, I mean, obviously Myers at first base. He was not a fit in center field last year. The defense is better. Tyson Ross is one of those guys who induces a lot of weak contact. So if you improve the defense, I think you should see his ERA go down. That combined with kind of just the pitches he throws, his slider is one of the best pitches in baseball. His two-seam fastball gets a lot of ground balls. I mean, obviously, like you said, it's a bold prediction. It'll finish top five in ERA, but he also pitches in a pitcher's park. It wasn't such a pitcher's park last year, but it's still a pitcher's park. And he pitches in the National League, so both those kind of mitigating factors help him in that case. So I think it's not such a bold prediction to think that he'll finish top five in the ERA race.
Yeah, I mean, there's always that like guy that kind of sneaks in. And I mean, quite frankly, the Padres are a team that, you know, the world is not necessarily watching. And so they kind of slip under the radar a little bit, but there really is no reason. I mean, with your predecessor Corey Brock, and we've talked a lot about Tyson Ross over the years, kind of waiting for him to become what everybody thinks he can become. And so every once in a while, you're kind of looking at the top 10 list, and you'll be like, hey, I've not really paid any attention to this guy. So that could certainly be Tyson Ross. He's got all of the tools. He just doesn't really play on a team that everyone's paying attention to.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm a big fan of, if you can limit hard contact, you're going to get good results as long as your defense is adequate. And last season he was third in hard contact rate against, according to Fangraphs. I think it was Jake Arrieta and Dallas Keuchel ahead of him, so two Cy Young winners. I might be wrong there. Don't quote me on that. But like I said, he's a guy that he kind of has those things going for him. If he can bring his walk rate down, he's an elite starting pitcher.
Okay, so let's move on to Will Myers. Do you think that he's going to put up better numbers than he has in the past? So what would you expect from him this year?
Yeah, my bold prediction is that he'll have better numbers than he did in his rookie of the year season. And that's, I think, all it comes down to for him is health. He can stay healthy. He hits the ball to all fields. He hits the ball to all fields hard. And for him, it's about health. I think that playing at first base will kind of help him in that regard, because there are fewer chances at injury. And I'm not sure what the comeback player of the year criteria are. That would have been my bold prediction. But I don't know if he was ever so far down that he can win that, but I think there's a chance that you throw his name in the mix right now for the type of player who could have that kind of season.
Yeah, because we were talking a year ago, I mean, when they had that crazy offseason and they just made all these acquisitions and everyone was like, ooh, the Padres are so interesting, and they were interesting for a while. Will Myers is a big part of, I think, why everybody, I mean, he wasn't like the main guy. I mean, of course, like players like Matt Kemp were drawing more attention, but Will Myers is a guy that everyone's like, you know, this could be a reason why the Padres might actually be legitimate this year. So, and I mean, yeah, like you say, it's health, but he hit 253, 8 home runs, only played on 60 games. So that, I mean, for any of this to work, the guys that you have penciled in to play regularly are going to have to play regularly.
Yeah, exactly. And you'd like to think that the wrist surgeries, they kind of cleared up everything that was an issue before. I think with Myers, last year playing center field, that was kind of a new position to him. And center field might be the hardest position on the diamond. So if you're throwing that much emphasis on defense, I mean, it can. I'm not gonna. I don't know for sure. I wasn't covering the beat last year, but I would assume that it would affect any player's capacity at the plate. This season, he's looked good at first base. And I just feel like he'll be more settled in 2016 than he was last year.
Okay. So I love your last bowl prediction. I love this because I find it hilariously fascinating that the Padres are the only team that still do not have a no-hitter thrown. And here's the thing about no-hitters that are thrown in perfect games. Sometimes they're by guys that, like, had not even mediocre careers, but actually didn't even have good careers. I mean, we've seen, who is it, Philip Umber just retired. I mean, he threw a perfect game. And okay, the other names are alluding, but the guys that are
Bud Smith is one. He finished. I want to say he was 7-8 with a 4.95 ERA, and he pitched all of like 30 games, but he was a no hitter.
Yeah. So at some point, I remember like all the years I covered the Astros. Like I would tell Roy Oswalt, like even if I'm not working on a day you're pitching, like I sit there and I watch the game until you give up a hit because there's always a chance you're going to throw a no hitter, and he never threw one. And so Simon, some of these other guys get no-hitters. So what makes you think that the Padres are going to throw their first no-hitter this year?
Well, like you said, it's a bold prediction, so I'm not predicting it's going to happen. But I'm not predicting that it's definitely going to happen. But you know what? If there were ever a year, I think this might be the one. Because, I mean, and I have three reasons for thinking that. First is the pitchers on the staff. They have no-hit stuff. Andrew Kashner actually already has 2 one-hitters. James Shields has thrown, I want to say, 5 or 6 complete game two-hitters. And of all of them, Tyson Ross, his stuff would seem to play the best. He has a high strikeout rate. It's over 25%, which if you're striking guys out, that's, you're not leaving yourself open to the volatility of a ball in play. So he has a high strikeout rate. He gets weak contact, and the Padres' defense is better than it was before. That's the second reason is the defense. And the third reason, I think, is just league-wide trends. I mean, batting average is lower than it's been since the start of divisional play. Strikeout rates are higher than they've ever been. And so it kind of leads itself to fewer hits and to a higher probability of a no-hitter. I mean, obviously, like Greg Maddux and Pedro Martinez don't have no-hitters. So it can be a completely random thing. But I don't think it's a stretch to say the Padres have a better chance this year than they have had in a lot of the years in the past.
So let me ask you this, like, just random hypothetical. Okay, so because all these stupid unwritten rules in baseball that I despise, and I would, if I could ban, like, one phrase from baseball, it would be unwritten rules. But
I agree.
So let's say with these extreme shifts, I mean, you're right. I mean, it's like with the shifting these days, you would think there would be a lot of no-hitters in order threatening to happen late in these games. So now you're in the ninth inning, and there's 2 outs, and it's got a left-handed hitter up, and they're all completely, like, on the right side of second base, or, you know, I'm being a little bit dramatic here. But there's a huge hole at third base. I mean, should it still be, like, an unwritten rule that you can't drag a bunt down there to break up a no-hitter?
I mean, like you said, I agree with you. I'm not a fan of unwritten rules. The one thing I would say is if it's a close game, do whatever you have to do. If bunting is your best option to win, lay down that bunt. You know, if you're down by 3 runs, you need to get 2 guys on base, hey, there's a guy on base right there. He's going to bunt. I don't care if it's a no-hitter. It's one of the games to win. But if it's 9-0 or 10-0, I think that's when you start to get kind of iffy on that.
I would be, like, totally dragging a bunt down there in that exact situation. I wouldn't care. But that's just me. I can say that because I sit up in the press box and no one's paying any attention to me. No one cares what I do. Okay, AJ, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Enjoy your first opening day as a full-time beat writer, and we'll catch up with you next week.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.